chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. And nobody else has claimed that.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It was God.
Amen.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So at the very beginning of creation, there were two elements, spirit and water. And at the very beginning of your creation, there were two elements, the spirit and the water. And all of a sudden, here comes the light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then would you turn to Isaiah 65. Verse number 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. So here God is saying that he created new heavens.
Amen.
And a new earth. Well, what are you talking about, a new earth? That meant that the earth that we have here has been a new earth or a recreation of the original earth. Stay with me. I'll make it more complicated. 2 Corinthians 5, and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new or recreated. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning. You're an awesome God.
Yes, you are.
God, that you'd want to be among us this morning.
Amen.
God, we're not a perfect people, but we have a perfect God who can take care of all the situations in our life if we allow you to. We ask your anointing and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Mundy. So God's first creative act was to separate the light from the darkness. He saw that the light was good, but in order that light would stay good, he had to separate the light from the darkness. Can you imagine in the first four verses of the entire scripture, it really is referring to how he creates the church. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So God wants the church to light up this entire world, but we have to be separated from the world in order to light up the darkness that is in this world.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So as long as we're following God and his direction and his word, it seems that we're lit up. Amen. So when God recreated us and put his light in us, he took us out of the darkness in order to be the light for the world. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. It's a creative process that God predicted 4,000 years before it ever happened. In Genesis 1 and 2, it tells us that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Has the Spirit of God moved upon your face in order to create something that wasn't there before? Sounds a lot like each and every one of us. We were without form. The Hebrew word for form here means worthless, dry as a desert. So we really didn't have much going for us. We were void of any real value before the Spirit of God moved upon each of us. Void meaning empty or absence of any kind of meaning. The darkness was on each of our faces, and the Hebrew word for darkness means not only dark as night, but ignorant. And there was wickedness in our life that God had to take away and change in order to give us a recreative process to make us into a new creature. Hallelujah. But the light of the world came to change all of that. He spoke to us by his Spirit and separated us from the darkness to create a new creature in Christ. We can't be the old creation. There was an old me and there's a new me. There was an old you and there's a new you. As he recreated heaven and earth, he recreated each and every one of us. It said the earth was without form and void. And the Hebrew says it became void. So in other words, there was a creation that was perfect and it became void. So there could have been a catastrophe between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2, and this could have been a recreative act that God sang. It also goes on to say after Adam was created, he said, go forth and replenish the earth. So if he had to replenish the earth, maybe at one time there was something that was destroyed there. Now, church, God never created anything that was worthless. He never created anything that was void, never created anything that just didn't have any purpose or meaning. But in time and circumstances, things can become worthless, even us. We could be perfect in his Spirit and in the water as our sins are washed away, but we can revert back to our old ways and become worthless even though we had great price. God created Adam and Eve and they were perfect. They were. But in time, they became worthless. And now we have to have a recreative process that took some blood. You see, that took the Spirit of God. So God had to have a recreative process, calling it born again. Born of the water and born of the Spirit. It's not enough just to identify, I believe Jesus. There has to be a process that causes us to conform to his image. We are disciples. That means we have some kind of discipline in our life where there are people who don't want to have any rules, no discipline in their life at all, and therefore we can't be in that recreative process. So in the process of being born of the water and Spirit, you'll notice two things that were present at creation. There was the Spirit, and then there was the water. And out of that Spirit and water was created a brand new earth. And God looked at it and said, you know, this is good. Our creation or recreation involves the same thing. There has to be Spirit and there has to be water. It's the water of baptism in which our sins are washed away and the power of God's Spirit that recreates something within us. Amen. Would you turn to Ezekiel 36? Is it complicated enough for you? Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. This is the process, folks. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Why? and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So what God is saying is, you can't do this thing because you're determined to do it. You cannot say, I want to become a Christian, I want to live for God, without a power or a recreative process in our lives. And that's what happens when God fills us with his Spirit. It's just amazing. You know, people who didn't want to go to church now want to go to church. People who didn't want to read the Word of God now all of a sudden are drawn to the Word of God, or coming here on a Sunday morning, getting dressed up, coming to worship God when before we didn't want anything to do with it. I'm talking about myself, and I'm talking about probably every person that's here, because of the Spirit of God or the recreative process that he puts us in, and now that Spirit causes us to do the things that we didn't want to do.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So in the process of being born of the water and the Spirit, you'll notice there is those two elements, our creative process. We then come out of darkness, and we are no longer without form and void or worthless. Now God's saying, wow, I just want to be with those people. You know, God loves people, but he hates sin. So once the sin question is taken care of, God can now come as close to us as he wants, and he can give us things. Jesus, I've been a good boy. Could I have? Absolutely. In my name, you can have. But you know what? Like your children, if they haven't been responsive to the things that you've asked them to do, are you going to reward them? If you do, you're a fool. See, because it creates more of a problem. So if we really want the things that God can only give us, we have to be the people God wants us to be.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we come out of darkness, and we're no longer without form or void, but we become a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar treasure, that we should show forth the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. And then we can stand behind this pulpit and say, you know what? I took what you said, God, in Acts the 19th chapter and verse 12, and we laid it on this boy who wasn't conscious, and now he's saying words and he's breathing on his own. We have the signs that follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We've got the evidence of the power of God. Hallelujah. Now, light doesn't condemn. Light reveals. Light reveals the love of God.
Amen.
And when people walk into a church or a Bible study, all of a sudden they are illuminated with things that they had never seen before, and they don't feel condemnation, they get revelation.
Amen.
People don't come into the church and feel condemned. They feel the love of God because God doesn't want to punish. He wants to restore and he wants to recreate. He wants a good project.
Amen.
Amen. I was a terrific project because there was a lot of things that he had to recreate in me, perhaps in you as well. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we don't have to drag the old life into the new life. God says, okay, we cut you off from the old life. You know, since God created the earth or recreated the earth, do we look at an earth that's void, without form, and full of darkness? No. He created it, and now we don't look back. We don't do the same in our own life, you see. So once we are born again, the light doesn't stop. God sheds his light, and suddenly we see areas of our life that are wrong. All right? There are millions, even billions of people who see no problem with the things that God says in his word are wrong. But once the Spirit hovers over the face of an individual, now they see, oh, I can't do that anymore. You see? Then conviction steps in and activates repentance. And he is faithful to forgive us, all because the light reveals the things to us, especially two things. It sees the mistakes and it sees the provision. Here is the air and here is the blood eraser.
Amen.
But we have to, first of all, be aware that we've got problems before the blood can erase the problem in our life. There has to be repentance. There isn't just a baptism, but there has to be an acknowledgement of, you know what, I shouldn't live this way. I've got to live a different way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Without the restoration that light and knowledge brings us, we feel distant from God and we feel like we are damaged goods. And if anybody walks in here and feels like I'm not good enough in order to be able to raise my hands or worship God or even ask God for something, it's wrong, because God is here in order to fulfill our dreams. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. But there is a prerequisite to it. It's contingent upon. See, those are the only two big words I know. It's contingent upon us doing something in order to deserve. Hallelujah. Now, there's no geography in God. There is no such thing as far and close with God. Paul said in Acts 17 to the Greeks, he said, you know, God's not far from any one of us if we would happily feel after him. You know, from the day I was born, God wasn't any further from me then than he is right now. The only problem was I wasn't feeling after God. You come into a Pentecostal church and all of a sudden you're feeling something. It's not like God all of a sudden came close to you. It's just that God now is revealing himself to you because you got the nerve to actually say something to God or worship him, and there he is, right here, you see? Oh, I want to go back to that church because that's where God is. Wrong. God is always surrounding you, wrapping his arms around you. So when you want to feel that presence, you want to feel the unction of God, all you have to do is create the same feeling of worship and thanking God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I know there have been writers that tell us, God is far from me, or why don't you hear me, O Lord? But God is never coming and going, because God is God. He fills every void, every space on the face of the earth, and so you don't have to go looking for God. All you have to do is demonstrate, I want you, God.
Amen.
Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Not that he has to go 2,000 miles to get to you.
Right.
Hallelujah. But there is a sense of distance that happens in our lives when we practice things that are contrary to God's word. So if we're doing something, if we willfully sin after we come to the knowledge of God, there remaineth no more sacrifice. And all of a sudden, there's this feeling that comes over us like, wow, God's left me, you know? God just took a trip, and he's not coming back because I am not as good as I should be. And that feeling comes from God. God wants us to feel the void. He wants us to feel like we're all alone. We heard that song, I Am Not Alone. It is so true. God will never leave us or forsake us. But sometimes we get this feeling like, where is God in this whole situation? You know? It's to move us in the direction that we need to go in order to feel his presence one more time. God has never moved from where you first felt him. And when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we have a link to divine nature and to a divine life. We can always, always reach out and touch him. Amen. Maybe there are some people who say you have to get to a certain point. You have to be, you know, in the church for 7 years. You have to do this, you have to do that. It's not true. God is always surrounding us. But even after we are filled with the Holy Ghost, a closeness with God like we have never had before, we still have to deal with some damaged emotions that we have. And unless we deal with the damaged emotions that we have, even before we came into the church, well, we'll feel like we're never good enough in order to get to that place where we can touch God and God can do those things for us. Second-class citizens in the house of God. I said it at prayer a couple of weeks ago. There is always an inner circle within the church. And you determine whether or not you're going to be in that inner circle. Peter, James, and John, well, they had the experience that was so incredible because they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus like none of the other disciples. Did they get an invitation? I believe they did. Did Jesus say, you know what? Come on out on the water and we'll talk a little bit. Well, there was one who was in that inner circle. Peter stepped out of the boat and he said, you know what? I want more than everybody else that's in this boat. And it's true in the church as well. There are certain people who will demonstrate, I want more of God. It's not just enough just to have a little touch of God, a feeling down my spine on a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Talking in tongues is not the transformation, it's the birth certificate. And some people think they have arrived at the pearly gates just because they're filled with the Holy Ghost. It is not true, because it's evident there are a lot of people who aren't here that had that experience. The creation comes after the birth. Amen. Some of you ladies who just had a baby, you know, you come home from the hospital, you set the baby down on a couch someplace and go on with the rest of your life. No, I'm sorry. Now is when the process starts, you know. Brother Coffee is shaking his head. I talked to a pastor this week who has a great church in Wisconsin. And he was telling me that it all started while he was in prison. Somebody came to him and gave him this truth in prison. And now he pastors a church of about 300 people in Wisconsin. That's the mercy of God. People come out of prison having paid a penalty. They are readmitted back into society. Every one of us have come out of some form of prison or some form of bondage. Welcome home. Welcome to your church family. You've been pardoned by the Holy Ghost and by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we all are damaged goods. We all have a sort of background, you see. An earthen vessel which was without form and void. God has to recreate us into something that is good. Because we have been beaten up, damaged, told we were worthless, lied on, divorced, forsaken, left for dead. Our past is not pretty, and we deal with issues like shame and guilt and fear, inadequacies in our life. And somehow the damaged goods have got to be taken care of before we can do any good for our God. Our personal self-worth and image have been stolen from us. God not only wants to restore our relationship with Him, but He also wants to regenerate our human spirit so we can live with ourselves. And some of us have a hard time living with ourselves. And David said in his repentance in Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me. You know, I know it's erased from God's mind, but it's not erased from our mind. And so we get to a place where we start to evaluate ourselves based on what our past is compared to somebody else in the congregation. And that's just foolishness. Because the first one who talked to Jesus after his resurrection was Mary. And her past was very sordid. God's creative voice speaks to us after his Spirit is upon our face. And that happens to you like right now. It's God speaking to us. Messages from this pulpit are ordained of God, and they're not for the person sitting next to you. They are for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And it brings out all that we can be to confirm what he wants us to do and to conform to his image. And after each day of creative, in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, God says, it's good. And in each step that we take in that recreative process, God examines us and he says, that's good. Let's go on to the next step of creation. It'd be horrible if he stopped just to give us light, you know, and didn't do the rest of the process of the 6 days of recreation, if you would. There are many Pentecostals that have the Holy Ghost and stay frustrated because they can't dominate the lust and the morals and the honesty and the anger and the insecurity and the guilt or the fear in their life because they stopped the process. Well, that's good enough. I feel pretty good. But then they're struggling with lust, they're struggling with morals, they're struggling with their mouth, they're struggling with giving, they're struggling with all of these areas that God wants to take care of and recreate in our lives, but we stopped the process because we thought 2 days is good enough. Where's the living things? Where's the green things? Where's the things that bring beauty to this earth? Where are the things that make our living for God beautiful? We are redeemed by the blood and adopted by the Spirit, but now God wants to restore and rebuild our personalities. Yet we can step out of the recreation process of God anytime we want by not hearing the preaching of God's word when God said. You see, he had to say something. And when he said something, it changed something. And by the preaching of God's word, it changes us who are sitting in the pew. Amen. Faith comes by
hearing
the word of God. Well, I'll just stay home and read. Sorry. The faith is going to be built up. It comes from hearing the word of God. We aren't much of a recreation just having God's Spirit. That Spirit in us must recreate us in his image or give us the incentive and the power and the value that says, I want to become more like Jesus. What would Jesus do? A rebuilding of our being not only to look the part, but respond the way God would have in us, in our mind, in our emotions, and the things that we do. God's desire is to rebuild us that we can experience his original intent for man. It's a whole process to bring us back into the Garden of Eden, to bring us back to that same perfection that Adam and Eve had, only displayed twice, once in Adam, and once in Jesus. Adam lived without shame, without guilt, without fear. Everything was wonderful. Getting up in the morning was great because he loved his job, naming animals, and it's always sunshine, no rain, no clouds, none of that. Amen. But once you step out of the will of God, now all of a sudden you need an umbrella, you need to work, you need to have problems and fears and obligations, and God wants to relieve all of that. Jesus not only was spiritually perfect, but he was emotionally perfect. So there's only two types or examples. It was the original Adam, and there's Jesus. Amen. God manifest in the flesh. Amen. He knew when to get mad. and when not to get mad. He knew when to open his mouth, and he knew when not to open his mouth. Amen. We can be like that. Amen. The Spirit of God that is in us is working to rebuild the defeated, shameful areas of our lives. And our past doesn't matter. Let God reshape the future. Amen. The problem we have is we get the Holy Ghost in 5 seconds, but dealing with our damaged emotion takes an entire lifetime. And we're thinking, I got the Holy Ghost. It's all over. Where's my crown? You know, it doesn't work that way. And somehow we relegate that to, I am not perfect because of something I've done. Well, you've just stepped out of the process. That's all. Hallelujah. It just doesn't happen overnight, because God didn't create the world in one day. In fact, the Bible says one day to God is like 1,000 years to man. And one soul is worth a whole lot more than the entire world put together. So God is patient. Amen. He's willing to spend all of the time he needs to in order to recreate you so you are a complete individual, not just 6 days, but 7 days. We all know the story of the prodigal's son. Out of the pig pen, talking to himself. You know, I know I should have stayed home. You know, this is bad. This is bad. And then all of a sudden he remembered. Amen. Coming home to dad, who hugs and kisses him, even in his stinky, muddy, pig-filled clothes. Get the ring, get the robe, get the shoes. My son, who was once dead, is now alive. In our mind, we watch them walk off into the sunset. Everything is fine. Hallelujah. That's what we see. But now the real work begins in the restoration and reconciliation to God and to family. Amen. You see, it's just starting the process over again. Amen. Yes, the father loved him and welcomed him back. There's no question. You know, it's a perfect shadow and type of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? I don't know where you've been. If you've been wallowing with the pigs, that's fine. Come on home. We'll give you a ring, a robe, and shoes, and we'll have a fatted calf. We'll party. But now, get back in the process. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some damage that has to be taken care of. There has to be a reconciliation, not only to God, but reconciliation to the family. Amen. We like the prodigals. We have to deal with some of the same things, same emotions. Emotional trauma, damaged feelings, guilt, shame, frustration, and earn our credibility through faithfulness. Amen. I'm coming back home, honey. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to let you know I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what God's looking for. Somebody who is saying, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter if other people don't understand. I don't care, God. I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's the same commitment that he gave to us. Amen. And one moment at the altar is not big enough in order to create enough. It takes time in his presence over and over and over again, because it's not finished yet. Right. We're in the process right now. Hallelujah. Sitting around his table, hearing his voice speak to us, feeling his touch over and over again, reading his letters that are personally written to you, and engaging ourselves in the work of our Father. Amen. The prodigal son came back to the farm, and he didn't say, okay, now that we've hugged, now that we've kissed, just go sit over there because your brother's going to do all of the work. It's so quiet in here. It's a lifetime project. One moment at a time. And he wants to see if we're faithful. Amen. Don't accept the guilt that hell or your damaged personality wants to put on you. Amen. If God has filled you and God has washed you, then he is in the process of restoring and rebuilding the damaged areas of your life if you'll simply stay in the process. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. What is really so pathetic is there are so many who have had such a good beginning, but they never stayed in the process to see the end results. Oh, and it's not just a perfect earth. It'll be a perfect heaven where life never ends. There is no more tears. There is no more sorrow. There's no more colds. There's no more flu. There's no more limping. There's no more any of that. We're going to be reunited with loved ones. But eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Continue to love him. The plan of salvation is given in one book, the book of Acts. I said it Wednesday. But we have 21 more books to show us how to stay in the process. Amen. Well, it's all wrapped up in Acts 2 and 38. No, it's not. That's the birth certificate. Amen. Now you're in the process. Amen. Amen. If your child only makes it to third grade and stops for some reason. Is that normal? No. I think we'd see a specialist. We want the best for our children, so we promote them to go further and further and further to get all of what they possibly can get out of life. Why not get all that we could possibly get out of what God wants to give us? Amen. Amen. That's over. And now you can stand. He's not finished with me, and he's not finished with you. God has made me some promises a lot of years ago that I know they have not been fulfilled as yet. And that's one of the things that keeps me in the process, because I know that God's got something better for me. Sister Jenkins, something better for me down the road. I'm not just occupying until he comes. I want to advance in the kingdom of God. Take it by force if I have to. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing, folks, we get to the pearly gate, And God or one of his angels say, you know what? Here's what God had planned for you. It was so awesome. But you stopped the process. You thought it was good enough. Oh my God. There are things that God has planned for each and every one of us. But we're so worried about the job and the house and the relationships and all of these things. We're thinking that this will fulfill us when God's saying, no, no. The only thing that's going to fulfill you is for you to fulfill the plan that I have in your life. Jesus, help us, God. To continue in the process, Lord. Open our eyes, let us see. Speak to us, O God. Let your spirit move on the face of each and every one of us to create that process in which we can fulfill those things that you have desired for us. Help us now, God, not to be satisfied with the status quo, to be just where we are right now. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?